unique to humans and something that great that God has blessed us with. So I looked this up online. Currently, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, we have 171,476 current words in the English vocabulary. 47,156 obsolete words. Still English words, but that we don't use today. Last year, Webster added 850 words to their dictionary. And it's multiple hundreds of words every year that get added. It's funny, all these words come from just combining just 26 letters into different combinations. So, where am I going with this? Let's take a look at this sentence. It's four simple words. When you read those words and you see those words, how do you hear them in your mind? Do you hear it as a curious question? What are you doing? Maybe you hear it as a concerned question. What are you doing? Or a parent's favorite, the angry question. What are you doing? But here we have four words arranged into a sentence that can mean or that sound completely different the way that you pronunciate them. So they have a big impact on the words, just by the way we see them. But the biggest impact is how we speak those words. How do other people hear those words? This is where I'm going to share a little bit of my story. Some of you know this, some don't. I had a rough relationship with my father growing up. He and I, we butted heads like oil and water. And I think this is pretty common for a lot of sons and fathers. We have different interests. He liked sports. I didn't like sports. I didn't do very well academically. He would get on me about that. We fought. We argued. So, you can't hear me? All right. So, it was a rough childhood. He was militant. He's 27 years retired in the Navy. He tried to raise me in a very militant fashion, and I bucked it. And so, as a result, we didn't get along very well. A lot of these things I contributed for many years as to the way that my dad spoke to me. I didn't feel a lot of love from my father. My mother and I had a good relationship. I felt a lot of love from her, but my dad and I didn't. A lot of things he said were very stern, very cold, to the point, matter-of-fact type words. I didn't have a lot of respect for him, to be honest with you, growing up. So, it's something I regretted as I became an adult. I didn't want to raise my children that way. I've tried. I know I've failed at times. But I've taken the lessons that I had from my childhood, and I've tried to apply them the best that I can. In Psalm 34:18, we read that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Looking back, I was crushed. My spirit was crushed when I thought about my dad and my relationship. There was a afternoon 15 years ago or so. I was home alone. Tanya was out. I'm not sure if she was still at work or what. I don't remember, but I had an audible voice speak to me. Looking back, I truly believe that this was the word of God speaking to me. Physically or verbally told me, call your dad. I did. I followed through, and I had a one-on-one, heart-to-heart relationship with my father. I didn't know where it was going to go. I didn't know how he was going to receive it. But I told him the way I felt. I told him what I didn't like about our past. And I told him I didn't like where we were now, and I needed to go on with my life improving that. And ultimately, I told him that I forgive him for the harshness and the way he raised me. That kind of set him aback a little bit. I don't think he was expecting that. But he took it much better than I thought he would. I initially thought that he was going to be defensive and tell me all the ways that I was wrong, but he didn't. And I truly believe that God had a hand in that conversation. We've since then rekindled a relationship, or started a relationship that we should have had all along. My dad's a good friend of mine now. I just spent the day with him yesterday. I flew down to Florida to see my mom and my dad just for the day. It was a late, belated birthday gift for my mom, but spending time with my dad was great. Sorry. Matthew 6, 14 to 15. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others for their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. God has forgiven me so much for what I've done in my life. I had no reason not to have this conversation with my dad, to forgive him. And while my dad didn't physically say it, I know that he has forgiven me for the way I was as a teenager. So things have gotten much better, and I contribute God, and I thank him for that all the time. Forgiving others who have wronged you, whether for a relatively small thing or for a seriously damaging act, can sometimes seem like an insurmountably difficult thing to do. In some cases, it's a process that takes a lot of time, but the Bible is very clear, and it's a necessity. Does forgiving negate the pain or the suffering that you've experienced? Does it reverse the things that have happened to you? No. But by forgiving others, it will allow God to help free you from the thoughts and the hatred and the bitterness and the burdens that you carry. Remember that forgiveness is not only done for the sake of the one you're forgiving, but it's for your own sake, so that you don't have to live with that burden. Praise team, come up, please. Sometimes the word of man can hurt and can tear down. The word of God is here to help repair and to rebuild. And after all that Jesus went through at the end of his life, as he hung there on the cross, one of the last things that he said was, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Just remember that who the Son sets free is ultimately going to be free indeed. Please stand and join with me.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome?